Welcome to your Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Ag Today podcast for this first day of October 2024. I'm C.J. Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and the podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit ffbt.com to learn more or stop by your local branch to talk about your ag operation today. On the podcast, Eric Pfeiffer visited a farm in Howard County last week that hosted ag leaders from across 22 countries. You'll hear the reason for their visit coming up. Also, Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has your Indiana farm forecast as rain leaves the area and farmers return to the fields for harvest. And USDA released its quarterly stocks report yesterday at noon Eastern. You'll hear from John Zanker with Risk Management Commodities as he breaks down the report and its impact on grain prices. That's all coming up on your Tuesday Hoosier Ag Today podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we know that when agriculture thrives, we all do. It's the heart and grit of our agricultural communities that keep the crops coming in and the livestock cared for day and night. That's why we build financial solutions around the needs and schedules of our ag clients. If you're looking for a financial partner that has over 135 years experience in understanding and supporting agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's harvest success together. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC. FDIC Equal Opportunity Lender.
Foreign diplomats visit an Indiana farm and the vet shortage reaching a crisis level. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. We've talked more and more in recent years about how agriculture is becoming a global enterprise. That was truly on display last week on a farm in north central Indiana.
We had 22 countries represented here today, looking at the way we farm, talking to our family, getting to know what we do, why we do it, how we do it, and building a relationship.
That's Isabella Chisholm from Chisholm Farms in Howard County, who hosted agricultural attachés from countries like Australia, Chile, Hungary, Mexico, Spain, the Philippines, South Korea, and others last week. These ag attachés are based in their respective countries' embassies in D.C. and are not farmers. They largely focus on trade issues. They were excited to learn about the farm, but also about some of the cultural differences.
Anything from us sharing traditional foods of persimmon pudding, and they never had heard of it. Cornbread, they had never heard of it or tasted it before. And it's corn from our farm, persimmons from a tree in our yard. You know, it's those type of things. Pork producers, the best pork chop they've ever had, they said. You know, well, when you let the experts cook the meat that they grow, then you end up with a quality product. So it's simple things. And it's also the opportunity. I was just invited to several of the embassies to share whether it's what I do or to learn more about what they do or to bring the committee, to bring any of our members to their embassies.
As chair of the American Farm Bureau Women's Leadership Committee, Chisholm encourages opening your farm to groups like this to build relationships. It doesn't have to be a group of international ag attachés. It can just be a group of folks in your community.
If we're transparent, then they will respect us first, and then they begin to trust us as we build them into our conversations and into our farm. And when they understand how we feel and what we do and why we do it, then they begin to accept things. They begin to become our advocates. So on the Women's Leadership Committee, we're building programming for advocacy and leadership for women in Farm Bureau. And then if we do the same thing on our farm for our communities, we end up building stronger communities across our country and a safer food supply.
The group was most interested in seeing and riding in the equipment and learning about new technology on the farm. Overall, the visit was a tremendous success, and Chisholm knows the message of American agriculture got through from this interaction she had.
One gentleman came up to me with tears welled up in his eyes, shook my hand and held onto it and said, "You know, I am learning more and more that farmers are the same everywhere. Their heart is the same. Their heart is for community. Their heart is for growth and for understanding. And that's what I see in you and your family and throughout agriculture." That's the message, is that we're all people and we all care about each other. And here on the farm, we want to do what's right, not only for us, but for our community, because without our community, we couldn't survive either. And so now we're just enlarging our community.
I'll have more tomorrow, as you'll hear from one of the ag attachés and what they gleaned from their trip to Indiana. Veterinarian shortages are not new, but what is new is the realization that it's about to get worse. A new study out of Penn State University shows that about 50% of rural veterinarians currently in practice are within 5 years of retirement. And only 5% of practicing vets in the U.S. are food animal veterinarians working on food, fiber, or milk-producing animals. And nationally, only 3-4% of graduating veterinarians enter livestock practice. You can read more on this at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
Pretty boring forecast overall here for the Hoosier State. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. One threat of rain over the next 10 days, and honestly, I think next week's dry pattern could extend all the way through mid-month. Let's get right to it here. There are a few lingering clouds over the Hoosier State today. Call it a mix of clouds and sunshine, but still no new precipitation. Good drying here in most areas. I think we should be able to get back to harvest very easily. If you weren't able to yesterday, I think you can today, with the exception of maybe some of the heaviest rain-soaked areas in southern Indiana. You may need another day or two down that direction. But the idea is evaporation isn't progressing too badly here across all parts of the state. Definitely in the north, they're back at it right away here. But as we move forward, we see full sunshine and warmer temperatures for tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I think even into the first part of Sunday. There is a frontal boundary that's moving through the upper Midwest and Great Lakes for Sunday, and it's going to bring some scattered showers here, probably overnight Sunday night into early Monday morning. 70% coverage across the Hoosier State, anywhere from a quarter to half an inch. That's going to be the most likely range that we see. And once we get to Monday midday, it's done. We're cool behind that front, significantly cooler for a couple of days, a little nip in the air for a bit, but then it's gone. We're back to warm and dry air for next Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. I think we stay dry right on through the 14th and 15th at this point. A large upper-level ridge sitting over the nation's midsection, back over the Great Plains. It's not going to let any moisture in here. The only place that we have to watch for moisture incursions, I think, honestly, is the tropics, either the Gulf of Mexico or the southeastern United States coast. So pay attention to that. But otherwise, I think there's a wide-open window to get back to harvest here. It really comes down to how much moisture you got out of Helene. The evaporation is going to be maxing out at about a third of an inch of moisture per day. So even if you got a lot from Helene, it doesn't take too many days of no rain before we can get back at it. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
The markets end the day mixed on a big USDA report day. This is Hoosier Ag Today, and I'm CJ Miller with your Monday Farm Market Review. With grain market analysis, it's time to check in with John Zanker with Risk Management Commodities. He and I spoke just before the close of trade on Monday. Well, USDA released its quarterly stocks report at noon Eastern Monday, and that caused corn and wheat prices to end the day higher. John, what were some of the key data points in the report that stood out to you?
Well, I think corn was at the top, and that gave us a pretty good bump right after the report was released. Ending stocks for the expiring marketing year, $1.76 billion, and that was about $84 million under the average trade guess. And so that put a pretty good boost into prices right away. Soybeans at 342, under the average trade guess by 9 million, but not any big reduction from what the USDA told us earlier this month. And then wheat, about 1.99 billion over the average trade guess. So nothing too significant there in the stocks report. So all in all, we had before that stocks report was released, we had a good export inspections number for corn. And so so far, just an all-around good day for corn.
John, I'm curious about two other things that are impacting the ag industry. First of all, no new farm bill to speak of, the current farm bill expiring at midnight Monday evening. Second of all, the International Longshoremen Association, ILA, that's the union that oversees about 85,000 port workers along the East and Gulf Coast. No new contract, no new labor contract, which means they're likely going to strike at midnight as well Monday evening. I'm wondering if those two items are having any impact on these grain markets.
I think those two things not having a huge impact. The East Coast do a lot of container shipments off the East Coast, and there's certainly some corn in some of those containers. But overall, I don't think it's going to have a huge impact. Most of our exports coming out of the Gulf and Pacific ports. So I don't think those two, and as far as the farm bill, I would say maybe a quarter of a cent impact one way or the other. So not much there. I'm more tuned into what's going on in Brazil. That forecast has turned wetter in the 8 to 15 day period for Mato Grosso and Goiás, the two states of biggest concern for them right now. There's been some water in that 8 to 15. Until we get some in that 4 to 7 and feel a little bit more confident, I think the corn bulls will keep a pretty good grip on this market.
And that's John Zanker with Risk Management Commodities. Settlements from Monday, December corn climbing 6 3/4 at 424 3/4. March 6 1/4 higher at 441 1/4. November soybeans, though, dropping 8 3/4 to 1057. January 7 3/4 lower at 1075 1/4. But December wheat up 4 to 584. October live cattle 2 cents higher at 183.77. And October lean hogs gaining 20 cents at 82.25. Don't forget to check out our website, HoosierAgToday.com. It's your home for all the latest Indiana farm news. Plus, whenever you need to know what the markets are doing right this minute, it's all right there at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.